Welcome to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander, the crossroads where culture, lifestyle, and community meet, all hosted by the legendary New York radio TV personality and proud Harlem American, G. Keith Alexander.
Hey, welcome to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. Wherever you are, I appreciate you for joining our neighborhood as we hang out together in Harlem America. Now, today in the What's Hot Spotlight is Michael J. Garner. Michael has an MBA and is New York City's first Chief Diversity Officer. He formerly served as Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer at the Metropolitan Transit Authority, State of New York. His tenure at the MTA spanned 14 years. Mr. Garner is a diversity champion, making it his personal and professional mission to create a more diverse business environment. By creating new programs, Mr. Garner and his teams have been responsible for more than $23 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars in payments to New York City state minority and women-owned businesses. So it is my distinct honor and pleasure to say, Michael, well, Michael, you are what's hot.
Great. Thank you, my Chicago and Harlem brother, G. Keith Alexander. Thank you for having me on this great show. And you have been doing such great work for so long. I'm just happy to be here with you.
Well, it's so nice of you to say, Michael. That's really, really nice. You know, I've watched you in action for many years, and you have now become the Chief Diversity Officer of New York. So let us now take the Wayback Machine, and let's go back. You tell us what it was like growing up as little Michael Garner.
You know, it was a great thing. Although I was born in Harlem, we moved to Chicago when I was four. And so I had the opportunity to grow up on the south side of Chicago. And in fact, my state senator lived around the corner from me, and his name was Harold Washington.
Yes, I know.
And he was my state senator as a kid growing up. And my congressman was Ralph Metcalf, who, as you know, ran in the 1936 Olympics with Jesse Owens and won the silver medal. And right. So growing up on the south side of Chicago, you had so much Black history and empowerment. You had the Nation of Islam. You had Operation Push. You had the Black Panthers on the west side. So Chicago was really a city for Black empowerment. And it still is the only city in the world, in the country, that has ran two Black men for president. First, Reverend Jesse Jackson, and then our president, Barack Obama.
Oh, right.
Okay. Only city in the country that ran two Black men for president.
Okay. Well, during that, so were you did you have a political mindset at that time growing up?
I had family who was involved in politics with the Daily Machine, and then they broke off as independents. And the Daily Machine rewarded each ward based upon the amount of votes that you got out for the ticket or the slate of candidates. So if your ward did not get votes out, guess what? You did not get your potholes fixed. You didn't get access to government contracts or city patronage jobs. And so if your ward got those votes out, then you were rewarded. But, you know, they were people like Ralph Metcalf and Harold Washington who got tired of being treated like second-class citizens. So they broke away and they formed their own sense of empowerment and sense of power.
And Harold Washington, for those who don't know, became mayor of Chicago.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, that was my time growing up in Chicago. And it was like the Black business community in Chicago, it was thriving. If you look at John Johnson, Ebony and Jet, and Ed Gardner, Lester Saufshin, you had Black millionaires in Chicago. There were more Black millionaires in Chicago at one given point in time than any other city in the country. Mm. Because the Black business community understood that when you spend money with your own community, then you create empowerment and you create economic development. And so Chicago still being the most segregated city in the country, you have those individuals who are still selling goods and products. And that's and that is prosperity. So in 1980, if you were in Nigeria, you saw a Jet magazine, an Ebony magazine, or Johnson hair care products, all those products emulated from the city of Chicago.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I mean, you could go anywhere in the country and there'd be a Jet magazine somewhere, barbershop, beauty parlor. We waited for that magazine for the Jet and Ebony, but mm-hmm. but the Jet was easier to take around. Yeah, you know, and it was John Johnson. When I got a scholarship to, I got a Marine Corps and got a scholarship to come to Fordham University. So I was dating this young lady. She was maybe about 6 years my senior, and she wanted to be a model. And so when she heard I was coming to New York, she says, "Gee, Keith, I want you to represent me with these photos and things." But I knew nothing about that. So mm-hmm. I said to myself, "Now, who knows about this? John Johnson." So I picked up the phone. I called Ebony, the Johnson publication. Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson got on the phone. He says, "Young man," he says, "come down to my office."
Wow.
I went down to his office, sat in his office. I had never seen an office with so much memorabilia. In fact, I had never seen memorabilia in my life mm-hmm. until I got to his office. And he says, "Young man, you know, representing models, that's a full-time job." He says, "But you're going to go up there to school. I tell you what, why don't you go to Black Beauty Modeling Agency and tell them that I sent you?" I said, "Oh, okay." He says, "You should be a model." So wow. I went to Black Beauty, and when I mentioned his name, they took me on, and that started my my career.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, those guys in Chicago, Cesar A. Partee, Wilson Frost, Harold Washington, all of those guys, they would always reach back and help the next generation. You know, and it was always about Black empowerment in the segregated city of Chicago.
Well, okay, so we're going to talk about that as it relates to New York City. But before we do, how did you get to New York? Okay, so you were born in Harlem, went to Chicago at 4 years old, grew up, and so fill in the blanks for us.
Absolutely. So I left Chicago to attend Buffalo, to school and college in Buffalo. And after I graduated, I thought in my own infantile mind that I had outgrown Chicago. And so I was at a crossroad. Do I go back to Chicago or do I go to New York where I was from? And I have a large family here. Mm-hmm. So I decided to fly out of Buffalo the Saturday after I graduated. And next thing I know, at 5 o'clock, I was in my aunt's apartment. And I walked over to 135th Lenox Avenue, and that just changed my whole life. Being on Lenox Avenue, back in those days, bustling, vibrant. I said, "What, man, I am back home again. Wow, fantastic!" You know. So yes.
Well, okay. So all right. So now you're just fresh out of college on 135th Street, and you know. I had the same feeling when I came from Chicago to New York. It was like, wow, you know, I'm in New York, you know. So, all right, so then what happened? How did you progress from there?
I was working for this corporation, and I was there for a year because I was in sales. And a friend of Mayor Dinkins said, "Listen," he said, "Young man, I know of an opportunity. And I'm going to come by, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to drop you off." And he did just that. And so I was hired by NYCHA as a senior buyer. Hmm. And it was at NYCHA that I cut my teeth on creating opportunities for small businesses. And that was then at NYCHA. And then a opportunity afforded itself at the New York City School Construction Authority, once again under the David Dinkins administration, mm-hmm. and I was hired there. And it was there that that we created a lot of aggressive, innovative minority business programs. And so I stayed at the School Construction Authority for 14 years. And then once again, as fate would have it, we had a black governor by the name of David Patterson.
Right.
And so his appointment secretary called me and said that we are creating a one-of-its-kind new opportunity at the MTA. And the governor would like for you to go over there and shake some things up because the MTA is not doing what it should be doing with regard to awarding contracts to black and other minority businesses. So fast forward, I was the MTA's first diversity officer. And so I stayed there for 14 years and we broke records. And so when we first got there, out of 97 state agencies and authorities, the MTA was ranked number last with dollars paid to minority owned firms. They were paying an average of $114 million a year, which equated to about 6% MWB inclusion. And so when we left there, they were ranked number one. $1.5 billion a year at 33% MWBE inclusion. And so as fate would have it once again, there was an election, well, there was a campaign, and I was advising candidate Eric Adams on his day one execution when he's elected. Mm-hmm. And so once candidate Eric Adams became Mayor Eric Adams, he reached out. And he said that you have given me the day one execution plan, and everything that you have done in your career has led to this moment. Come join my administration. And so I'm now here as the first chief business diversity officer for the city of New York since the year 1625, when the city of New York was incorporated.
Incredible. Oh, you know, however, I do recall hearing you say one day I was at a speech that you were giving, and you mentioned that when the mayor offered you an opportunity to come join the city as the chief diversity officer, you refused him.
Right. So I turned him down the first time because I was still institutionalizing a lot of the programs that we had built at the MTA. And the last thing you want to do is to have a measure of success and then leave that institution and then the whole program evaporates. And so I felt bad of turning down a black mayor to come work for him. And so about 8 months later, the opportunity resurfaced and I jumped all on it.
And I must say, you are the new sheriff in town, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, you have this $23 billion that you've instituted programs that have benefited minorities and women. And tell us a little bit about that.
So when the mayor hired me, he had a simple mandate. He said, I want to change the way that the city of New York does business, because my biggest frustration is having these 45 agencies award the same contracts to the same businesses year in and year out, time in and time out. And so under this mayor, for the first time of any mayor, Mayor Adams has had the opportunity to go to Albany and get all of his minority business bills passed. And all of them now are signed into state law. So we are incorporating all of these bills into MWBE programming.
Oh, beautiful.
His simple mandate is this: by the year 2026, the city of New York will award at least $25 billion to minority and women-owned firms. And by the year 2030, that number will increase to $60 billion. And if last year was any indication, we are well on our way. Last year, the city of New York awarded $6.3 billion to minority-owned businesses. And now we're focusing on how we can do a better job of awarding contracts to Black and Hispanic-owned businesses. And so we are effectively dealing with the disparity within the disparity. Why is it that government and the private sector in the most diverse region in the world why these institutions cannot award contracts to Black and brown businesses. We're changing that.
What were some of the impediments to that happening before?
The right-sized contracts, lack of access to capital, lack of having the Black and brown businesses giving them access to those contract opportunities, because, you know, people do business with who they know and who they trust. And breaking that cycle was tough. But one thing that the mayor did in his genius, he essentially said that all of the chief diversity officers at each one of these agencies and the buyers will not only report to their agency commissioners, they will also report to you. And so he realigned reporting. And then if you couple that once again with changing state laws to create programming that will guarantee inclusion, we are starting to see great things happening now. So it's a new mindset. We're changing the culture. We are about the era now of accountability and transparency. And then one thing the mayor has also asked that we do is that we are holding weekly MWBE CompStat type meetings with all the agencies, and they give an accountability of how many contracts they awarded the previous week, how many of those contracts were awarded to minority businesses, and what's in your pipeline. And so also what a lot of people call a crisis, we call it a opportunity. The migrant asylum seeker issue that we have right now. And so we are having, once again, weekly meetings with all those agencies that are procuring goods and services in order to feed, house, and maintain the asylum seekers. And thus far, G. Keith, we've awarded $1.5 billion to minority women-owned businesses in those services. A third, more than $500 million, were awarded to Black and Hispanic-owned businesses. So we're changing the way that the city does business to make sure that it's more inclusive. And so you will hear great names of big city Black mayors like Maynard Jackson, Harold Washington, and now Eric Adams will be in that same category.
That is incredible. That is a beautiful thing. We're going to take a short break right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're with Mr. Michael J. Garner, and Michael is the Chief Diversity Officer for this great city of New York. And keep listening, because there might be some information that you as an entrepreneur, business owner, you may want to be aware of, and we'll be right back. Thank you for listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander.
Have you ever thought about hosting your own radio podcast to establish fame, fortune, and followers for your small business? People listen to them, they subscribe to them, and they love them. As a small Black business owner, doesn't that sound like something you'd like to be a part of? Well, you can when you hire the Radio Podcast Pros at Harlem America Digital Network. Imagine, you'll have a team of creative and technical professionals at your disposal and a one-hour weekly radio podcast to spread the word about your business. Making your business successful with its own media is not for the faint of heart, but it can happen with a Harlem America Radio Podcast talk show. Get a free consultation by emailing gkeithalexander at harlemamerica.com or call D. Daniels at 480-553-5741 today.
Listening to Harlem America.
I love it a lot.
For entertainment.
Check it out. Check it out.
Empowerment.
And health and wellness.
Harlem America. The home of Glasso Smart Water is Harlem America. Harlem America. Where Coca-Cola is helping you enjoy less sugar. You're listening to Harlem America,
talking to the world from the heart and soul of New York.
You're listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander.
To reach our show live today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Also, you can send an email to gkeithalexander@harlemamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, I want to remind everyone that in the month of August, we've got Harlem Week coming up. We've got in September, I believe it is, the African-American Day Parade coming up. And what else? Oh, and the Mama Foundation, they've got their wonderful gala coming up in June, I believe. So we'll keep you aware and informed on all the events that are coming up that Harlem America will be covering. Okay, right now, we're with Michael Garner, and Michael is, I've known Michael for a long time, and Michael is the new sheriff in town, and we're talking about some of the programs and initiatives that he and the mayor have put together so that some of the minorities in town can benefit. So, Michael, let us talk about some of the programs. What are some of the programs that are available to support minority entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so certainly. So we have access to capital programs where we have a roster of banks that are affording cost-effective business loans for business people. I believe it's up to 3%. And so it's cost-effective. You know, and it reminds me, G. Keith, of Maynard Jackson when he was the mayor of Atlanta, when he called all the banks in and he said that he wanted them to report back to him in 30 days with access to capital programs for black businesses. And if you don't do that, I'm taking the city money out of your banks. And the banks came back with actual programming. And so the Adams administration, we are talking to a lot of institutions, including BlackRock, about access to capital programs for our certified minority-owned businesses. Second program that we are getting ready to create is a centralized construction mentoring program where 10 different city agencies are going to allocate projects to this program. And now our MWBE contractors who have a history of being subcontractors will now have the ability to bid on City of New York's construction projects as prime contractors. We are going to waive bonding. We are going to hire a bank, which is going to issue loans up to $900,000 per contract. And guess what's going to happen, G. Keith?
What?
That once that contractor submits an invoice, which is accurate, we will pay them in 10 days.
Really?
A construction mentoring program that we created both at the School Construction Authority and at the MTA. In fact, when I was hired at the MTA, that chairman at that given point in time said that we want to create that construction mentoring program that you guys created at the School Construction Authority. Fast forward, there's been more than $700 million in contracts issued through the MTA's construction mentoring program. The program has been so successful that we changed the state law in order to implement that program. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo extended that program for the next 10 years until the year 2029. And so we changed the state law, and we are creating a centralized construction mentoring program for the city of New York. Third, there is something that's called discretionary spending. The agencies now have the ability to go out into the marketplace, solicit 3 or 4 prices only from minority-owned businesses. As long as that pricing is aligned with historical pricing, they will make the award right there on the spot up to $1.5 million.
Wait. Repeat that. Run that by me one more time.
Yes. So Mayor Adams was successful in getting a number of bills passed. One of those bills is the discretionary program, which now allows all city agencies to go out into the marketplace, secure pricing, and as long as that pricing is aligned with historical pricing from only 2 or 3 certified minority-owned firms, they will make the award right there on the spot up to $1.5 million without going out for more broader bidding. This is some of the programming that the Adams administration is implementing, currently speaking.
That's, man, wow, New York. Thank you, Mayor Eric Adams. Thank you. Wow, that's incredible. So how would minority business people get involved in these projects? They have to go to the website and they have to fill out forms and... Is that simple?
Yes, it is. And we are making this easy, right? No longer are we going to sit in our ivory glass towers and expect firms to come to us. What we're currently doing, G. Keith, is that we're taking the city's MWB programs to each one of the boroughs. And so we are having borough-based MWBE outreach events in conjunction with the borough presidents and the Chamber of Commerce's in those respective boroughs. We had a standing room crowd only at an event that we had at Hostos Community College up in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
We then went out to Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Our next event is going to be held in Manhattan in May. And then we're going to go up to Washington Heights in June. And we're bringing city agencies there with their personnel. And so for any business who want to do business for the city of New York, the first step for us is to submit your MWB application. Once you are certified, then challenge us to effectively integrate you into those 45 different agencies so you can start bidding and winning contracts. It's simple.
How long does it take for certification?
Once an application is complete, it takes the New York City Department of Small Business Services 45 days to make a certification decision. 45 days.
That's all. Man, you guys, I'm telling you, New York, it sounds like there are going to be more minority millionaires, black millionaires, and others in New York City because of opportunity, because of the programs that you and the mayor are and have initiated. That's quite a blessing for those of us who are in business, but also it helps all their families. Their families benefit from that as well. So, you know, you guys are doing great work. So can you tell me of a success story that you can share with us? That, you know, someone who prior to your coming into your position and the mayor coming into office didn't have the opportunity, but now they've had the opportunity and they have some modicum of success that you can share.
This is the Eric Adams administration. It's called the Get Stuff Done administration. And we really don't mean stuff. You know what we mean. Right. I can't say it on the air.
Right.
But yes. So certainly, G. Keith, we've had the opportunity to create opportunities. Let me give you a story. There's a black-owned company that averages $19 billion a year in sales.
Hmm.
It is one of the largest information technology firms in the country. Mm-hmm. It's based in St. Louis. It's called Worldwide Technology. It's owned by Dave Stewart, who at any given point in time, he's either the first or the second wealthiest black man in America.
Really?
Worldwide Technology. They secured a $350 million contract with the city of New York. Black-owned company. Doing this opportunity or crisis, if mm-hmm. you want to call it that,
mm-hmm.
feeding the asylum seekers. No mm-hmm. longer are we only going to these multinational out-of-state companies to provide food mm-hmm. for the migrants and asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. We're taking these opportunities to the inner city of communities and neighborhoods. For example, there is an Hispanic-owned restaurant called Bocaditas, located on, I guess, about 212th and Broadway. This restaurant has a $8.6 million contract with us. They are providing 95,000 meals a week in order to feed the asylum seekers. And so that one restaurant brought in other restaurants, and they have created more than 300 jobs in the Washington Heights area. This is being done under the Adams administration.
That's incredible. That is incredible. So
and G. Keith, the last transaction that I took care of before I left the MTA, Melba's will be opening up a restaurant in Grand Central.
Oh, really?
So for the first time in Grand Central, there will be a Black-owned restaurant called Melba's.
Wow. Is she going to be on the first floor or up the upper level?
She's down where Shake Shack is. She's right next to Shake Shack.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So she's down below. Okay, yes. Fantastic. All right, that'd be great. When should we anticipate that to happen?
In September.
In September. No.
There will be a grand opening and press conference in September.
Boy, I tell you, those folks down there are going to be privy to some wonderful food.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely.
And when you're downstairs down there like that, I'm sure that the aroma and of her food, it's going to be great down there. Oh, that's great. Okay.
Absolutely. All right.
So, advice do you have for entrepreneurs in dealing with or wanting to deal with the city?
Here's in closing, never accept no for an answer. The city of New York is open like never before under the Adams administration. The mayor has made it clear that we're going to do business with a new diverse pool of contractors and businesses. Let me tell you this. You know, in this very exciting time we have right now, watching the New York Knicks.
Oh, yes. There
was a time, G. Keith, and you know, that the NBA draft had 12 rounds. And so there was a guard who was drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers in the sixth round. And his name was Saddell Threet, sixth round. And he had the opportunity of making the NBA and the Philadelphia 76ers as a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. And so the press corps of Philadelphia asked him a question. How does it feel being a sixth-round draft pick making the Philadelphia 76ers? And he said, although I was a sixth-round draft pick, in my own mind, I was always a first-round draft pick. And so all of the GMs, the team owners, and the scouts, they miscalculated. Fast forward, he won two NBA championships during a 14-year career. Mm-hmm. And so there are people on this call, business people, who are getting ready to give up. And I'll tell you one thing, don't give up before your miracle. Under the Adams administration, come work for us.
Incredible. And not only that, but not just the business people have opportunities here under the Adams administration, but the Adams administration is also running commercials called Run This Town, where they're trying to get people to apply for jobs to work for the city.
There are 14,000 vacancies. And the mayor has been vigilant and laser focused of taking the job opportunities to the boroughs. So we are currently engaged in having borough hiring halls. We are asking residents to bring your resumes and you can be interviewed right there in the spot. And the agencies will make an initial offer to you right there on the spot. There was one in the Bronx about 2 weeks ago, and the city of New York made 99 offers on that day to applicants.
Really? Wow. Incredible. Well, okay, so now let's talk about diversity. Mm-hmm. Right now, diversity and inclusion has been getting a bad rap. Mm-hmm. And whatever to certain people, it means minorities. It means black people are getting being pushed into places where they shouldn't be. Talk about that, please.
So the code word of diversity. I would say under the Adams administration, we're moving full steam ahead in doing what we're doing in order to level the playing field. Decades of racism being shut out, redlined. From the black community's perspective, if you look at what the head of the NAACP has just did, when the state of Florida has eliminated the diversity officers and the offices at all of their state universities. Think about this for a second. The governor has done that.
Hmm.
But yet, they want to admit black athletes to come and play football and basketball and bring revenue in for those colleges and universities that have disbanded their D&I offices. And so the NAACP, the 100 Black Men, the Urban League, has called for a boycott of those colleges and universities who are dismantling their D&I offices and officers. And so if you can't support black students and admit them, then black athletes should not be going to those universities and colleges and playing football and basketball and bringing revenue in. And so we have to fight back. We cannot allow other people to dictate or create commentary that will say that D&I is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you another example of the ability to fight back. If you have the major civil rights organizations, NAN and others, do their research, determine which corporations do not have any blacks on their boards, and which corporations are not buying goods and services from black-owned businesses, boycott them. And so at the end of the day, I don't care how many conservative attorney generals from the southern states will write the Fortune 100 companies and tell them to immediately cease and desist your diversity efforts, because you are in violation of the law. Let's put those corporations in positions where they're going to make a choice. Either they're going to listen to these conservative attorney generals, or they're going to support black-owned businesses, because if you don't, we're going to boycott your products, and your bottom line is going to be impacted, and your shareholders are going to start raising hell, right? So they're going to continue to recruit blacks on their boards and do business with black-owned businesses, period. We cannot sit back and let people destroy the gains that we have made without fighting back. And so the Adams administration is clear. We're moving full steam ahead of creating diversity programming and including black-owned businesses and Hispanic-owned businesses in our spin, period.
Well, I certainly applaud the Adams administration and applaud what you're doing, Michael. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back and talk more about the city of New York and about your initiatives and the success that you guys have been having. And this is What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander.
Have you ever thought about hosting your own radio podcast to establish fame, fortune, and followers for your small business? People listen to them, they subscribe to them, and they love them. As a small black business owner, doesn't that sound like something that you'd like to be a part of? Well, you can when you hire the radio podcast pros at Harlem America Digital Network. Imagine, you'll have a team of creative and technical professionals at your disposal and a one-hour weekly radio podcast to spread the word about your business. Making your business successful with its own media is not for the faint at heart, but it can happen with a Harlem America radio podcast talk show. Get a free consultation by emailing gkeithalexander at harlemamerica.com or call ddaniels at 480-553-5741 today.
Harlem, America.
It's about Harlem.
Harlem is my town.
Carver Bank, where 80% of every dollar is reinvested in the community.
Harlem, America, the home of Coca-Cola Zero.
You're listening to What's Hot Harlem, America with G. Keith Alexander. To reach our show live today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Also, you can send an email to gkeithalexander@harlemamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, thank you. Welcome back. I want to remind you that you can download our Harlem America mobile app and also our TV app so that you can keep abreast of all the events and things that we cover here in Harlem and beyond. And we will love for you to go to the website today, harlemamerica.com, and check out some of the articles, and we'll be posting something about the Apollo Theater's upcoming gala. That'll be posted today as well. So, Michael, I mean, this is incredible information, and of course, we will be promoting this show beyond today as well, so that the people interested in doing business with the city and to find out more about what you and Mayor Adams are creating and doing for the benefit of minorities. I'm just really elated that you were able to come to the show today. So tell us, how does technology factor into this whole program with the city?
Well, the mayor often says, Mayor Adams often states that we need to use information technology to improve operating efficiencies. And so he has invested more than $5 million into acquiring a new information technology platform, which is going to allow City Hall now to look at how each one of the agencies are procuring their goods and services. And so we're now going to have the opportunity to look to see how many contracts each agency is awarding to minority-owned businesses. But here's the key.
Mm-hmm.
The key is that this information technology platform is going to also allow us to look at those payments. And so our third-party contractors and consultants are now required to enter their payments into a portal by the 10th of each month.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then we will stop their invoices, and then they will come back around and they will start entering their payments. So now, almost in real time, we will have the ability to look to see how each one of these companies are doing with regard to their minority business goals throughout the life of the contract. And so having the ability to look at the contract awards by the agencies, but to look at the payments to MWB firms on those contracts almost in real time. This is how we are using information technology in order to drive, in our case, diversity operating efficiencies.
Well, you guys have thought about this every step of the way. That is incredible. So, okay, so let's talk about mentorship. Are there any mentorship opportunities in Mayor Adams' administration as it relates to diversity?
Absolutely. And so one of the bills, once again, that the mayor had the ability to get passed and sign in into New York State law is that construction mentoring program that we just talked about a while ago. But this is going to allow us to diversify the construction industry in the city of New York like never before. And having the ability to award prime construction contracts to minority women-owned businesses who will only bid against themselves. Having the ability to ascertain access to capital for these firms up to $900,000 per contract, having the ability to waive their surety bond requirements, and then most of all, having the ability to pay them in 10 days. This is a game changer. This is going to allow us once again to diversify the New York City construction industry like never, ever before.
all of these initiatives and new ideas and concepts, you know, Mayor Adams was in city government prior. He was the borough president in Brooklyn. And you being in diversity and inclusion as far as making sure that minorities participated in city government. I mean, how many of you sit down and come up with these concepts for New York City? I mean, it's you and the mayor and who else is part of that team that says, you know, we're going to do it different. We're going to do it this way. And maybe we should, who's on the team?
So I've acquired a top team. We stole some employees from the state. We stole some from the MTA. We built our team and we sit around and we talk. However, the mayor and I agreed early on is that we're going to be successful because we're going to focus on solutions and not be blinded by problems. Mm-hmm. And so we created a number of best practices at the School Construction Authority. We created a number of best practices at the MTA, and now we're taking those best practices, we're changing state laws, and we incorporating those best practices here at the City of New York. Having the ability to focus on solutions and not be blinded by problems is the key.
And I've often heard the mayor say that this city is run by hip-hop, or that hip hop runs the city. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you talk about hip hop is innovation. I mean, who would have thought that a group of teenagers stealing some electricity from a light pole in the South Bronx would create hundreds of billions of dollars industry worldwide? You know, you cannot listen to a commercial on TV without hearing hip hop now.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, so this is we're moving forward in a way where we are innovative. We are laser focused of not adhering to the status quo. We're dismantling the status quo. We're moving it ahead in a way like ever before. Think about this for a second. The largest, most important city in the world. As New York City goes, the world goes. As the markets go, the world goes. This is the most important city on the globe, but under the Adams administration, it is the most diverse administration in history. 6 women deputy mayors. The first Puerto Rican NYPD police commissioner. The first chief diversity officer. The first Korean agency head, Kim, of the Department of Small Business Services. This is the most diverse administration in the history of the city of New York. It is a reflection of the diverse region that we live in.
What inspires you daily in your mission to enhance diversity and inclusion in New York City?
Getting emails, getting thank you that you have changed my life and my business life. And now we are creating companies with growing businesses now that I can pass down generational wealth. Having the ability to walk down the street and have somebody just walk up to you, shaking your hand about how you helped them get this contract or how you helped them navigate getting paid. That's what keeps me going in the morning.
Well, now I'm going to get a little personal here now. In your life and times, do you have any regrets? Anything that you feel like you gave up to become the Michael J. Garner you are now?
I think, you know, when you look back upon your life, and you had a lot of doubt, you really didn't understand the impact that God continues to allow you not only to walk in your purpose, but to walk in his purpose. Understand this, that I'm being paid to help other people. we are the epitome of everything that our foreparents had prayed for, that one day we will have an opportunity. Think about the slavery experience, the sharecropping experience, where our foreparents went out into those fields and picked cotton and worked from sunup to can't see at night. But yet, when you look at G. Keith Alexander and you look at Mike Garner, we're getting paid for something that we really enjoy doing. Exactly. And we're both helping people.
Exactly.
Hey.
Exactly. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's people ask me things like, "Well, when are you gonna, you know, retire? Retire to what? I'm having fun helping people, talking to people. You know, I over the years, you know, having been in radio and television, I run across people who say, you know, I used to listen to you when you did this and that, and I was in the hospital and you made me feel, and you know, people, you never know the lives that you touch, but when they come back and let you know that you have touched them in some way, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Absolutely.
I just enjoy it. So, Mike, the other thing is, speaking personally, you too have overcome a challenge that I once had as well as a kid. And I believe you used to stutter one time, didn't you?
Right. Yes.
And I did too. And my uncle had it really bad. I remember one day he sat me down and he said, take your time and think before you speak. And that kind of brought me out of it. How did you get rid of stuttering?
Well, listen, I mean, you know, we all have our challenges and experience. If you listen to Jesse Jackson, used to be a stutterer, James Earl Jones.
Right.
And so we all have the ability to overcome our challenges. And the same advice that your uncle gave you was the same advice that I got. Just take your time and clear out your thoughts, take a deep breath, and then go from there. And so, yeah, definitely.
And speaking of James Earl Jones, he used to stutter quite badly, but when he got before a microphone or he had memorized a script, you could never, ever tell that he was a stutterer. And right. here I am, I'm making a living from talking. And if my uncle could, if he was
see
alive,
you now, right?
See you now. Yeah, incredible. Mm-hmm. All right, Mike. So what do you have planned for your future?
Hey, listen, I came in with Eric Adams, and I'm going to leave with Eric Adams. As they say, that you always leave with the person you came to the dance with.
Right.
There you go. And he has given me the opportunity of a lifetime, you know, definitely.
Well, he is a wonderful example of what we should be doing to help each other. And I've known him since he was a borough president. And in fact, just the other day, I was out to dinner a couple of weeks ago and I saw him out at dinner and we spoke for a while, but, I am so happy, and anything I can do to help you guys, please let me know.
Absolutely.
I am, all in. And the next time, you get to Chicago, get some Mr. Lim's barbecue, and so will I. So, all right. Is there any last words you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
Absolutely. You know, there was a person, a very historical person named Gordon Parks, mm-hmm. and he was often labeled the Renaissance man. But I'm going to update that because G. Keith Alexander is a Renaissance man. And so you have done so much for so many. Keep doing the great work that you are doing, and you are truly an inspiration to me and countless others. Thank you.
Oh, Mike, that is so wonderful for you to say. Thank you so much. For those who are listening via our website, I just want to let you know I got a big smile on my face right now. So thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll see you next Friday at What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. And we want to thank our special guest, Mr. Michael Garner. And we want to make sure that you have a great day and a better one tomorrow, unless you made other plans. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. We'll be back next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, that's 1 p.m. in New York, on the Voice America Variety Channel and the Harlem America Digital Network. Thank you for listening.